AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
We're seeing really cool shifts. And then, yes, it, people's wallets are being impacted, but I think that folks are still wanting to have a better-for-you lifestyle. And our retailers are seeing that, too.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to AgBioScience. This is the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet because it centers on food. And that food economy is one that is constantly evolving. Today's guest is uniquely positioned to understand the trends shaping this market, and she's here to share with us what's ahead in 2024. Welcome, Lorelei Bergen, Vice President, North America Retail at Nielsen IQ. Lorelei, welcome to AgBioScience.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm thrilled, actually, because you guys cover the greatest topics in the world.
Oh my gosh, you make me so happy. I feel the same way. There is so much to dig into. You know, we talk about food being the only economy that touches every person on the planet. And it's such a powerful view. And that view is one that is really driven by data. And that is what you and the team at Nielsen IQ do and are doing. Give us a sense. What is Nielsen IQ and what role are you playing at this intersection of retailers, food companies, and the overall economy?
Well, you kind of teed this up perfectly because you're talking about consumers and the view and everything. And our motto at Nielsen IQ is that we give you the full view of consumer behaviors. We've been around for 100 years. Some people are shocked to hear that, but you might know us as the former Nielsen Rating Company. We actually spun off from them about 3 years ago into our own private equity company. And it's been fantastic because really what we wanted to focus on and continue to invest in is all about the consumer. I mean, the omni shopper lens is not going anywhere. And I think tracking how consumers are shopping and why they shop for something and what we can do about it really matters more now than ever. I joined Nielsen IQ probably a year before COVID hit, and talk about such a volatile industry, right? Who would have thought, right? Retail just did like backflips. And what's exciting about that is in my role at Nielsen IQ, I have the privilege of working directly with retailers anywhere from club to the dollar channel to the mass channel. And consumers, they drastically are different across all those channels and how they shop. So I love what I do, but more importantly, I love the data that we have access to. And so I'm excited to kind of share a little of the highlights and what's to come in that space.
I think so often in this food system, Lorelei, we talk about the supply side, where plant science happens, where animal health happens, how that all eventually makes its way into value-added food and nutrition. And with you, we finally get a view into the demand side of the equation. You just came out with a new grocery trends report looking at some of those big trends that we can look forward to the year ahead. Now, there is not a chance on the planet you can unpack all of them. And it's like asking for your favorite kid, I'm sure. Give me a couple of your favorites. What are the big trends that you see from your seat at Nielsen IQ that'll shape the food economy here in 2024?
The biggest trend that everyone really needs to have a lens on right now, not just CPG companies, but also retailers, is around really the labels, the ingredients. So yeah, I can be here today and say, oh, corn is really on a rise. But what really matters is the entire ingredient profile of a product. And why that matters so much right now more than ever is because consumers are getting extremely savvy in how they're shopping and they want to do it quickly. And the SEO engines behind a lot of the online portals where people are doing their ship to home grocery shopping is influencing some of those behaviors even we see on the shelf. So what I mean by that is at Nielsen IQ, we actually track every single ingredient that's stated, but also we give qualified claims. We have licensed dietitians that have the ability to do that. So we can tell you if something's actually keto friendly, paleo, free from clean attributes or clean from all the other claims that folks make. And our licensed dietitians help us do that. And we have a really robust machine learning that helps with that as well. And why that is critical is then we can start tracking sales against those ingredients and see what's really popping in the industry. But I think that what I've noticed in the past year is, for example, in food and beverage, anything that has been free from artificial flavors or coloring has been up 38% in sales.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? And if it's free from preservatives, we're seeing 35%. So all this stuff is really critical to have on a pack if that's an area that you play in. And if you don't play in that wheelhouse, you need to start, because the demographic of 18 to 24 year olds, and as well as up to 35, this is a very big component of how they shop today. That and sustainability is the top of their list when we are paneling our folks.
Lorelei, as you're looking at this, you did a wonderful job talking about the ingredients and unpacking the ingredients, really trying to understand what's driving consumer behavior, what's driving purchase patterns. But I think it's important, and it's something you and I have talked about historically, is where a lot of this data comes from. We're talking store scans, right? As you check out and the beep happens at the grocery store, ultimately that data gets aggregated. You have a couple other sources. So these insights that you're sharing, these aren't from a panel. These aren't from one specific view. This is aggregated across, I guess, what, millions of scans?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, so at Nielsen IQ, we are a global company and we serve over 100 countries, okay? We cover 90% of the global GDP. And we have 20,000 clients and we have 75 million products and growing that we track. So that's fresh and anything with a SKU. So yeah, that is exactly it. In order for us to get these sort of insights, we have to have the greatest lens of what's happening across the scanner, which we do. And the way we do that is we actually have amazing cooperations with our retailers. So they willingly give us all this sales data at a transaction level and helps us really understand basket insights, how the consumer is shopping, being like, how are they spending their money? Are they using Snap or WIC, or are they using credit cards? So we are a big proponent of wanting to see all that data so we can truly understand end-to-end how the consumer is shopping in the store.
As you look at that and you sort of back up from the consumer, so you're seeing the scans, you're seeing basket composition, you're seeing that shift. But I have to imagine there are big CPG companies, there are maybe even ingredient companies, to your earlier point, that are coming to you and saying, Lorelei, Nielsen IQ, help me understand what you think this is actually going to do. As you look at 2024, maybe even into 2025, what do you see really shaping in the food supply chain that we can infer maybe from data over the last quarter, last couple quarters, that will affect everything from the farm gate to the dinner plate?
I love this question, and we are already putting these kind of wheels in motion because of our attribution data. So I think a great example. So, you know, the California Food Safety Act, people call it the Skittles bill, right? I hope you've heard of that. But by 2027, they cannot manufacture, sell, or distribute some various ingredients. You might know the red dye 3 or the, what is it, brominated vegetable oil, something along those lines. And it's critical, like people immediately associate with Skittles. But what if I were to say our retailers have no idea where those ingredients also reside in other products? You might be shocked, right? But they really don't. And so we have the privilege of being able to share that data with our retailers and our manufacturers and be like, hey guys, this is being mandated. We need to get ahead of this, because not only it's going to impact their sales, their supply chain, but we want to let the retailers know they need to prepare. These are all the products in-house that you have that will be impacted by this mandate. But also on the flip side, we work with manufacturers. So it is our job too to help the manufacturers identify where they need to have substitution of those ingredients and how to help them so that they can prepare to not lose margin and lose space on the shelf with the retailers. So yes, 100% there today.
Yeah. And the name of the game in this, right, is how do you get shelf space? And to be able to use data to understand not only the demand side, but to your point, supply side, giant unlock.
Yes, a huge unlock. And when we tell you that retailers are looking at those better for you options and all the sustainability tagging and such, I'm not joking. It's a remarkable revolution that we are going to continue to see. And so our manufacturer partners need to get on board. And in order to do that, sometimes they need our assistance to see like, hey, you know, if they were to put this ingredient or this product in, the retailer's still going to analyze their assortment stack, right? They're still going to see, am I having shifting? Am I going to have cannibalization? They're still going to analyze our entire planogram accordingly. But we want to make sure that we're arming our manufacturer partners too with the greatest insights so they can be competitive.
What will those insights do to shape the connection between food and health? We'll jump into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture.
No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Lorelei Bergen, Vice President, North American Retail at Nielsen IQ. Lorelei, we've been looking at supply, we've been looking at demand, understanding the data that really helps understand what's happening in the food system. One of the biggest movements afoot to me feels like this focus on health. Giant trend. We've seen massive innovation, even on the pharma side, with weight loss affected drugs, things like GLP-1 having an effect on weight loss, I should say. How are you seeing the food system respond to this greater focus on health? And is there any connection between GLP-1 drugs and ultimately what ends up in the basket, which ultimately drives demand for ag bioscience?
Yeah, so I am so fascinated by this new drug and how it's impacting just how the consumers are shopping. And I get asked this on a weekly basis from Wall Street. So you're not the first one that's really considering, like, where are we going here? If it's not inflation, they care about the GLP-1 drug stuff. So what's fascinating is at Nielsen IQ, we have one of the greatest panels that we can survey. So we have actual consumers that are from all different demographics that we can see who's on this drug, why are they on the drug, how has it changed some of their shopping behavior. So a lot of people don't have that lens today like we get. But there also has to be some scrutiny around it too, right? Because you don't want PII information, things like that can't get leaked out. We're still navigating this and there's still a lot to learn. But here's what we do know. For these folks that are on the GLP drug monthly, that digestive health is very important to them. So that's in the food and over the counter. So those audience members still are really interested in continuing to have more of those supplements coming their way. The next is their propensity to buy nutritional supplements is very high too. So that could be anything supplementing in the paleo, the vegan, as well as muscle health and heart health. Think about it as like if you just started a diet and it's not going anywhere, right? And you kind of lose your momentum to keep going. Whereas the GLP-1 drug, it kind of fast tracks that. So people are seeing like, oh, wow, maybe I really do need to lean in harder on not only the supplements, the digestive health, but then how am I also going to be shopping the store? And that was probably the most interesting piece for us because we thought we were going to see like this huge shift to like anyone that is on the GLP-1 drugs, like just shopping the perimeter. And that really hasn't been the case yet. We're seeing some shifts in like more of like the ready to eat meals, some of the convenience things, maybe smaller snacking sizes, but we still need more time to still get a good enough study on really those folks that are on the drug and continue to be on the drug and how their shopping behavior is panning out. I say all this is because I think there's a lot of stuff in the media today that's a little misleading, and I think it's causing a little bit of fear, but we are very particular about what we're going to share and this true trend until we have all the right data and the right timestamps to really start seeing a trend. Here's what still also needs to be understood. We don't know the real affordability of this drug. We don't know if insurance is going to cover it long-term for folks. And we can't disseminate yet the folks that are on it short-term versus long-term. So we have a lot of respondents that are like, yeah, I'm just on it because I have some baby weight, you know? So does that mean they're going to be on it for 6 months, a year? So that's a thing that we still need to be able to track are the folks that are on it for short-term, long-term, and their shopping behaviors. But still something very, very interesting. And what I will say is our research does show that 1/3 of the folks that are on those GLP-1 drugs are on them a year later. But is that enough to give us a true trend in grocery? Stay tuned.
Yeah, still early. I think the piece there that hit me is what is the actual effect for affordability? And candidly, what does all of this focus on health mean in a tight economy? Do you see consumers focusing more on health through purchases? Are they buying store brands? Anything there that would be helpful?
in the news, they probably told you discretionary spend is down. So people are not, you know, maybe shopping the home and appliances as much as they used to. And that's because they need to have more money to spend on food. The amount of dollar spend is 33% more than it was 3 years ago for dollar spend in the grocery. Yes. So that's huge. And that's for everyone. And so imagine the impact that is being felt by folks that are on some of the SNAP and WIC programs. But what we are seeing is like, folks are still very interested, though, in what they're putting in their bodies. And although like sales are somewhat up because of inflation, but the units are down, we've seen a great impact and fastest growth actually in some of the more keto diet claims, as well as the paleo diet claims. And anything with 25 grams or more in protein on the pack, so cottage cheese even had an increase, those are doing really well. And then from a health standpoint too, you know, we think of health and our impact to our wallet. I was very shocked to see that mushroom sales are up 37% from last year, and anything sugar-free is having a huge impact. So 29% of our consumers are now looking for claims with a no added sugar. That's up 7 points from a year ago. And then when we also think about like the diet and pharma and food and everything like that, this will rock your world. Because if you know anyone that is in the alcohol industry, apparently there's been 112% increase in searches for sugar-free alcohol. So that's just insane. And I'd also say definitely have a pulse on some of those sea vegetables, because that is also growing close to, I think, around 40%. So yeah, I mean, we're seeing really cool shifts. And then yes, people's wallets are being impacted, but I think that folks are still wanting to have a better for you lifestyle. And our retailers are seeing that too, because they're putting more and more emphasis on having some of the intersects between health, food as medicine in the retail space. So you're going to see more insurance companies allowing for produce prescriptions. That's something that, you know, maybe is not heard of very well. We're going to see more of that. We're going to see more vouchers and more coupons for better for you options, because those folks, we took away some of those COVID funds that some of the lower income folks were really hyper dependent on. And there's got to be a way that they can still eat healthy and still not break the bank.
We look at in that height of COVID, height of the pandemic, certainly in the wake of the pandemic, we saw food inflation at its highest since the 1970s. I mean, just an incredible era of run up in prices from inflation. And you've mentioned a couple times SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, often referred to as food stamps, WIC, women, infant, and children, really focused a lot on dairy on that front. How are you seeing? Are there trends that are playing out in SNAP and WIC with high inflation? Any shifts there happening?
So when we look at some of our SNAP and WIC trends, it's really great to see it by our retail channel breaks. So like the way a person that shops a supercenter versus a dollar channel versus club is drastically different. Remember, those programs are viable in all those channels. But what I can tell you is when it comes to our SNAP and WIC, maybe lower income households, they are super concentrated right now on pre-diabetic, diabetic, and high blood pressure labels right now. That is what they care the most about, because those are the highest ailments that are impacting those households. So when we think about it from a food standpoint, we have to make sure we have enough of those options on shelf. If you are a store that you know has, let's say, a great deal of your percentage of shoppers are those SNAP and WIC folks, you have to have the right ingredients on the shelf. We have a responsibility to provide that. And we do demographic insights per store for all of our retailers so that they're meeting the shopper's needs. And when I say that is, we know that shoppers are also making multiple trips. So they're not just going to their store down the street. They will make up to 3 trips because they are shopping for the best prices, but they're also shopping for the right thing for their diet needs. And if you don't have that right product on your shelf, because you might think that you don't have the right audience, we're now showing our retailers that's not the case, that sometimes they will go to those higher end retailers to get specific products because they don't have it. Or better yet, they'll go online to Amazon and get it. So they need to be careful. They need to make sure that they're matching the stores and their demographics are matching also the assortment that they have on shelf.
Lorelai, you are a wealth of knowledge. Nielsen IQ is a wealth of knowledge. Where can folks go online if they want to learn more and maybe dig into this 2024 Grocery Trends Report or others?
I love that. So we, if you go to NielsenIQ.com, we have an amazing thought leadership drop down to go right there. There's so many sectors of thought leadership. So we do a great deal of thought leadership in BevAl, convenience shopping. That's another one I could talk about for an hour with you, is the change in the convenience channel, and also like the drug channel. So it's really great insights. We also have a lot of great thought leaders in the health and wellness space. And so, yeah, please go out there and view it. It's a sea of knowledge.
Well, we look forward to seeing you in Indiana soon. I so appreciate it. She's Lorelei Bergen, Vice President, North America Retail at NielsenIQ. Lorelei, thank you so much for investing your time.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. On behalf of the entire Agrinovis team, I'm Mitch Fraser, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovis Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovisindiana.com.